Hi, Mike. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, this is Mike Plummer, and I am Rich Castle for Death Screen Presents, and I am talking to the former bass player and backup vocalist for the great Zion's Abyss from out of way out in Canada, who released an album at the beginning of the 90s that was called Tales. How are you today, Mike?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Rich. How are you?
Great.
Terrific.
I know a lot of you out there aren't going to be familiar with this band because the resurgence came in 2007 when it was re-released as a CD proper, and also it was released on vinyl, and it is a great album of metal history. I mean, I myself, it's for Death Scream, I want everyone to know that in the 70s we had the great band Rush. In the 80s, Triumph came along. In the 2000s, we have Cauldron. But for the 90s, for me, the best album that I heard is the Tales album by Zion's Abyss. Tell me about this great album.
Well, you know, I don't even know where to start there, Rich. Just Andy and I got together out of a couple of cover bands at a Frostbit in Canada here and decided that we'd had enough with the cover scene and decided to do some writing. So we sat down one night and started penning out and picking up our guitars and saying, hey, what you got, you know? So we start picking up, and we started out with Sorrow on the Horizon. And that was basically the pickup, and basically we wrote the rest of it right from there, right from scratch. So everything was all fresh and new, you know?
I hear Klaus Wissel is the vocalist, and his vocals soar. And when I say soar, there is a track that reminds me of Dreamer Deceiver by Judas Priest.
Oh, you got that right, my friend. Yes, indeed. Klaus Wissel is a dynamite singer. That guy's got pipes on him like no tomorrow. And, yeah, he was in a band called Renaissance, which was another cover band, but we always went out to watch him and go, yeah, man, that's the guy we should have in our band. That's the sound we were looking for. And, yeah, absolutely, Judas Priest was a... Well, Andy come from a band called Winterkill. That was Judas Priest tribute. And I come from a band called Legs Diamond. That was a Whitesnake tribute. And Klaus Wissel was in a Iron Maiden tribute, which is amazing. And so we sort of melded the minds, you know, and that's what we come up with.
But what came out was an album that showed such amazing, not only just the vocal prowess, which also I hear Dio, I hear Angel, I hear the band Angel,
yeah.
I hear Early Maiden, but I also hear is the man on guitar who reminds me of Uli John Roth era Scorpions.
Wow, man, that's amazing that you mentioned that, because, Uli's an amazing player. And, Andy really, really picked up on a lot of that stuff. He was really into, like, Sabotage and a lot of the older, you know, anything by Black Sabbath and, you know,
Andy
he likes Satriani as well, you know. Pardon me, sir?
Andy Waitkiss is his name. Could you tell me about his when he was born, when he died? Because we lost the great...
Well, I don't know exactly when he was born. I think he's a couple of years younger than me, but he died in 92, when we were in the midst of recording our second album, which is yet never was released, but it is going to be, which is, well, you can let that out. Unfortunately, Andy was killed in a car crash. And, it was quite amazing. Well, I miss him because the world was a better place with him in it, I tell you.
Well, the Tales album is the album that I am keying on here because that was what defined Zion's Abyss. Did it take a long time to write?
What? Pardon me, sorry? I didn't quite catch that.
The Zion's Abyss album... Tales, I'm keying on that, and I'd like to know, how long did it take to write such a metal masterpiece?
Oh, geez, you know, We got together and sat in our rehearsal studio for just about 5 years before we even did a live show writing. Andy and I sat there 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. And it was a labor of love, you know. We spent a lot of time. Our girlfriends were like, where are you going? Well, you know. And, it paid off. I mean, to ourselves, you know. We never really hit the big time, but we sure worked hard on it, you know. Yeah, about 5 years we sat writing that stuff.
What about the production? The production is smoking. I mean, for, releasing it as a cassette album. Back then, it has a smoking production. Well, how did you get the 24 track? What went on?
Oh, yeah. Well, we did it. It was great. You know, Ron Chenier from the band Fist did the engineering, and he had built a recording studio here in Edmonton. And he brought in a Studer Mark IV DAC with SSL board. And a Studer Mark IV 24-track deck, and that was the first time we'd seen anything like it. And we built a really nice studio. And that's basically where it all started. I don't really know what to say about that. It was recorded at Platinum Studio here in Edmonton, recorded at Anvil Sound, which is another studio here in Edmonton. And it sort of just went from there.
So is this second album, which, by the way, Death Scream listeners, readers, this is an exclusive. Zion's Abyss have a second album.
Yeah, well, you're the first ones to hear about it, that's for sure, because you know what? It was lost. As we were recording that second album is when I got wind of Andy's car accident. So, and that studio went under. And all the masters went missing. All the 2-inch tape went missing. And it turns out that at some point in that time, I had pulled it off and put it on cassette, which my son had. He goes, hey, Mike, I've got these old Zion's Abyss songs, man. You should check this out. Oh, my God, the whole album's on it. I couldn't believe it. It's like right out of the dark, huh? Because I'd retired for 15 years. And my son pulls this out of his tape box. And, I've got the whole album. So it's got to be, I'm going to try and separate it as much as I can. That's all there is. There's only one copy. That's it. I've got it, my cassette, and it's in my vault. So, yeah, it will, you know, it's there. But it's good. We got to put it up and running. I don't know. Any takers?
Yeah, well, tell me about me. What's the title of it? Give me some of the songs that are on it.
You know what? It was going to be called Junk. That was Andy. Andy wanted to call it Junk. So I think we're just going to go with that.
Right. Okay. So Zion's Abyss is has a junk in that abyss. Okay. It's something like that. It's going to be like big letters, like the tail C A L E S.
Yeah, and we'll put dots between the letters too.
Now, some of my peeps out there are going to say, "Wait a minute."
Or maybe commas between the letters. I don't know.
They're going to wonder, does this stand for something to do with some kind of beer crew here? Are they saying something? Are they coding something in there with the tails? What does it stand for, tails?
Well, basically, tails just means it's stories, man. And how the dots between it was just so people will ask, and I am not kidding you, man. There is no reason for it whatsoever. You know, when I was talking with Andy, when I said, let's just put some, when we were designing the album cover, I said, well, let's just put some dots between the letters and maybe people will ask. We were nobody. Like, we were just nobody in this big sea of music, right? Well, I don't know. Make it interesting.
How many copies would you sell of the Tales cassette album, and how many copies are you selling now that it's been pressed up on CD in 2007 and also as vinyl, and tell me about what the vinyl looks
well,
like.
Well, to my information, what I remember is we sold 5,000 copies of the cassette originally, which are Hen's Teeth. If anyone get a hold of one, send it to me. And when we released with Steel Legacy in 07 there, they pressed it up on 100 vinyl editions, And I think it was, I don't know, a couple thousand CDs, I think. I don't know. I'm not really quite sure. All I know is it bought me some new furniture.
Oh, is it a picture disc? Is it a colored vinyl, or it's just a...
Oh, no, it's just on just black vinyl, but it's good and thick. And you know what? It sounds amazing. It really transferred well.
You own the rights to your music solely, or is that the record company?
Pardon me, sorry?
Do you own the rights to your music, the copyright?
Yes, I do. Yeah, myself, I do outright. Well, it would be Eddie and I, but to all, it's mine now, yeah.
Well, we'll see what we can do about making a second album, something.
Hey, man, I would be more than interested in doing something like that, Rich. Yeah, right. Absolutely, man. I've access to some pretty good recording studios here, so.
Is there anybody that would pick up the ball and maybe, like, you know, I hear musicians like Fist, and this is a great thing right there. And guys in a band are kind of like a gang, I know. And if you ever seen the Anvil movie, are you guys still...
Oh, I love that movie. And you know what? I know those guys from where... I'm originally from Toronto. And I moved out west in 1980 and traveled all over the States and Western Canada, worked on the circuit. But I know the Anvil guys, and you know what? What an amazing story.
Right, right. Okay, and this is something that will continue. What I'm trying to say is, will the Zions of this story continue? Are you guys going to do any new tracks for the new album? Are you still together in any way? Are you at least friends? Or
no, you know what? I haven't talked to any of those guys in a long time. I talk with Eddie Zirn, our drummer, once in a while. He actually lives in town here. However, you know, we sort of parted ways, and it wasn't clean. I mean, like I say, Andy and I were the core of the band. We were the nucleus. And once Andy died, it was sort of like I unplugged and said, hey, man, I ain't coming home, you know? And everybody sort of went their own ways, and that was that.
Wendy Wakeus had this. We lost a great guitarist in Andy Wakeus.
We did. We lost
a... Was it true? Yeah. You listened to a lot of Uli John Roth, if I can't pronounce his name right, but it sounded like early Scorpions. That's how great Mr. Wakeus sounded.
I'll tell you, man. Andreas Reinhardt Wakeus is probably one of the greatest guitar players that ever walked this planet that never made it into that so-called genre, right?
Yeah.
It is a pleasure and an honor working with the man. And,
is there any special, on the new? I can't help but walk on your words here, because I'm excited about hearing more on this unreleased second album. Is there like some crazy like solo, like Laughing Gas by Randy?
Oh,
Rose?
Dude, you know what? I listen to this shit and it makes me cry. It's so amazing. It's like so amazing. I forgot all about it too, and it is so technical, and it is, but melodic. And there's a lot of, you'll hear a singer, like I say, it's unfinished, and it's just bed tracks, so it's not mixed. So, but it is just, it's really amazing. I listen to it now, and I go, oh my God, this was, I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely amazing stuff. It's the greatest stuff I've ever done, you know.
There's a few minutes on this album, on the Tales album, where you can hear this beautiful, like classical, and I wouldn't call it classical, but just acoustic strumming, which is,
yeah,
like, for me, it's like serves as the, not only the outro of the album, but almost like a goodbye for this man. It is so lilting and so...
Okay, there was a little bit of definition on the album, because it started with Madness and it ended with Serenity.
Yes.
And I believe you're probably talking about Serenity, probably the ending piece. That beautiful classical guitar piece that Andy played?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it started with Madness, ended with Serenity. And if you follow through, I don't even think it was like point in general or even put together this way, but I guess there may be a little bit of a story to the album. Because, you know, something else I've noticed too, with today's world, the way it's all getting the way it is, I think a lot of these songs are more relevant today than they were back then. know, like it starts with crazy stuff with the Second World War, and then it went into I think the song "Mercenary" was supposed to be called "Guns of August," which had something to do with Desert Storm, and it goes right through with changing sands with breakups with your wife, what's the other one there? Ends with vampires. They're all over the place on TV these days. And Scarred for Life is about drug addiction. And, Son of Sam is about serial killers.
Where did that story come from? A member of the band, or you care to say?
Well, we just started writing the shit, and everybody puts their 2 cents worth in, and away it went, you know?
So what do you think about modern icons like Lady Gaga and Charlie Sheen? What do you think is all this darkness? Is there any light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, you know what? I sort of don't like to even turn on the TV anymore. I listen to what I listen to, and you know what? I sit and play guitar, and I go to work every day, and that's all I do. I work in a recording studio, and I go to work with my day job.
So give us some titles.
There is no money in music. Not where I come from.
Right. So give us some titles from the new one. Some song titles. What can we can expect? What's that? The name of the album?
You know what? The name of the album is supposed to be Junk, and I think I'm just going to go with that. That was Andy's ambition. And there's the Boot Fuck Boogie.
Is it going to be like Junk, J-U-N-K, like T-A-L-E-S?
Yeah, J-U-N-K, yeah.
Yeah?
Just a bunch of junk.
What songs will be on it? Any names, any song titles you can give me?
Yeah, what's that name? Ugly's Waiting is probably going to be the big one off that one.
What's the name of it?
Ugly's Waiting. U-G-L-Y?
Right.
Ugly's Waiting.
Can you tell me about the deal you have right now? Are you happy with Steel Legacy and what's going on?
That deal is already finished. That was, years ago, and we only signed a 1 year on it. And, you know, they obliged everything. I don't think they're selling anything now.
So how many copies?
I haven't seen any money.
Were there a lot of copies pressed up of the CD? How many?
I believe, I don't really know for sure. I know they pressed 100 vinyls.
Yeah.
I have 10 of them. Well, I had 10 of them. I give them out. And I think there's maybe 1,000 or 5,000 CDs, I think.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure, Rich,
Well, I know that now you have the second one. I think that with the climate, the fact that this music was actually ahead of its time, maybe Zion's Abyss in 2011 might be something people want to hear.
Well, you know what? If you do, let's get something going, man. Because I'd love to see, it should be put out to the universe because it's fantastic music. And it's just good music. That's all I can say. Like, I'm not even blowing my own horn. I sit back, I play in other bands, and I go, that doesn't touch a camel, this shit I did before,
You guys were from so far up in Canada. I think that played a role in the fact that you didn't get bigger than you could. Did you guys tour?
Well, you know what, Rich? Yes, I absolutely agree with you, because this is before. We worked hard on this before the day of the internet. And just trying to get out there, don't forget, man, to travel from Edmonton to Calgary is like you could travel from, four states, And, our location definitely had a lot to do with it. We had on another conversation where we're not on the page here, I'll tell you about other misfortunes that happened,
Right. I'd like to know, for such a great guy like Andy and Waitkus with his amazing playing, and you had such an incredible singer who could send. I mean, there were times on your record where I actually got chills down my spine.
Yeah, when they shiver your timbers, man, you're on to something, huh?
That hasn't happened to me in a long time, and I'm an old time rock and roll here. I've been at the metal stuff for a long time, and what I'm hearing is just magic. And I want everybody else to check out.
Thank you for your kind words, man. That just made my day.
Well, now I'm going to ask you a hard question. What do you think about love and Jesus, Mike?
You know what? I love love, and Jesus rules. He's all right with me.
Oh, like the old song, Jesus is just...
You got it, man. We just heard the Doobie Brothers are coming to town this summer, and I'm damn happy with that.
That's what I'm saying, musicians are immortal, so why not another...
That's right, man.
You think Zion
Pardon me, sorry?
Could you play out again, maybe, Zion's Abyss?
I don't think there'll ever be a reunion, no. I don't know where those other guys are, and the fact is Andy and I were the nucleus of the band.
Yeah.
And it just, like I said before, man, the world was just such a better place with him in it, you know.
Yeah.
I go see him where he rests now, and, you know, I go have a beer with him and stuff once in a while, shoot the shit, and say hi and tell him I love him, and, you know, and it's funny because he didn't get to see this. I mean, this started as a high school web page project, and it snowballed again because people finally got to hear what we were doing. And I promised him when I was carrying his box, man, that I would make you a rock star, brother.
Andy Waitkus is a treasure, and I'm so. In a position now of where I can say that Andy Waitkus was one of the greatest guitarists in the history of heavy metal, and maybe...
Oh, man. Thank you, Rich. And you know what? He can hear you somewhere.
I know he
can.
He can
hear you. Right on, brother.
Us rock and rollers, we're immortal. That's what we are. And we
It deserves to be listened to, you know, and to be appreciated, because, yeah, he was definitely the guy, man. And, I'm getting tear in my eye just thinking about it. Yeah,
Mike,
I miss
you want to pick up a guitar and play something for everybody?
Geez, you know what? I'm nowhere near one right now, Rich.
Maybe you send me a file. So I got to say...
I'd love that, yeah. I'd be more than happy to do that, man.
Send me everything you got on Zion's Abyss, stuff we haven't seen, and we'll post it up on deathscream.net.
Well, fantastic. And you know, it's always a pleasure, Rich. And thank you so much for calling, and thank you for all your kind words, man.
You're welcome. Mike Plummer of the immortal Zion's Abyss, who had the Great Tales album. Way up there in Canada, they made a immortal classic album. Good night, Mike Plummer, and this is Rich Castle for presents for deathscream.net. Good night.
Thank you,
Rich.
Mike.